Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. This is Russ Dizdar. Hey, welcome from all around the world, here throughout the United States. Want to say welcome live and welcome by, quarter million other downloads around the 150 nations. We love you everywhere. We really do. May God stretch out his hand and bring his grace and be effectual. I mean, answering those prayers that have been poured up. Even as we speak right now, God in Christ, nobody knows you better. Nobody loves you more. Nobody has desired you. And it's God himself that we give account to at the end, is it not? Knows the secrets of the heart, knows what goes on in the secret places. Hey, just going to throw this out when it comes to criminology. First murder in human history, would that be Cain and Abel, the whole situation? Now, Cain kills, there's motivation and the reasons why, and he's dead, Abel is, and probably seemingly buried, getting rid of the evidence, and yet God came and said that his blood cried out. Now, there's no question in my mind, and on the news today, if you heard this, it's gruesome that a family received the head of the wife in the mail or on the doorstep in a bag because the family could not or would not pay the ransom of drug lords. What? I mean, once again, 40,000 dead in Mexico in a year. Some say 200,000, others much more in a 10-year period. So the blood goes on and the violence goes on and the drugs and the demons and the priestesses and the saint of death. And, everybody knows that. And God is a God of revival. God is a God that reaches out and brings revival and knows how to bring regions and areas and even entire nations. That's what's needed for all of us. What would happen if there's 10 million fearless, fierce believers just like Philip, Acts chapter 8? Glad you're here. This is Russ Dizdar. We're going to interrupt the regular broadcast in the sense of the training. We'll get right back to that tomorrow and Friday, volume 3 of Spiritual Warfare. So we'll be right back to it. We are in the mix of a number of things right now, turning over what we believe would be evidence and stuff to chiefs of police in cases and, a lot of engagement all around. Here's one of the things we can't do. We do have individuals contacting us, asking us for details. We don't know who they are. We can't do that. You know that we're not going to give names and details and all that we do. We can do it after the fact. We can do it in, when there's permission by victims and others and do that. I don't believe in exploiting, and obviously we're not going to tell perpetrators who listen to this broadcast. I mean, perpetrators who listen to the broadcast, we're not going to give them a heads up where we're going to be, what we're going to find, and what we're going to be doing, and how extensive, sometimes a year in advance before we move on things. And so we have major law enforcement activity based on things we've given, and more is coming, that's for sure. What I really care about is the victims and what's happening in Belleville, Big Valley, Lancaster. Well, you could take it all the way to Europe, all the way across the United States, down to Belize, wherever we find Amish and Mennonite. Now, here's what, and here again, in engaging in discussions long term. As we're ongoing, some ask, if we know this stuff, what are we doing? Somebody put that on my Facebook. My response was, where have you been? We've been asking literally thousands of you to pull out the prayers because for decades, the prayers there among the subjugated, abused have been going up, and God has heard. I can say that by the Spirit of God, we've been guided, we've been drawn in, and I think another 100 helpers and workers and others are coming. So we cannot tell everything that is going on and what we're doing, but we can give you some heads up. Ask for your prayers, and then because there are victims. Now think about this. Because of the subjugated, structure, community, what do you want to call this? The terminology of cult comes to mind. I'll explain that under the principles of totalism when it comes to not just mind control, life control, emotion control, what you wear, where you go, what education, who you're allowed to talk to. There's a lot of control when it comes down to the backdrop of the Amish and very conservative Mennonite. And not only that, they don't want us in their areas. They made it very clear. Going to throw out this question to Belleville, to Big Valley. Anybody know about the skeleton, the bones? Anything about the mountainside? We need to hear from you. We've been hearing from some of you. And I just noticed today that the phone lines that we have, that phone number is on PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com, is packed out. And now we've got to go again, going back to engage as we are with everything else. So we've been in doing that all day today. We're going to do that tonight. A lot of work, and that's one reason you're going to hear me say as a believer, I believe God's designed believers to be powerhouses in Christ. And great things could be done in the areas of, extending God's kingdom. You know what that means? Well, the salvation of lives, the building of those lives, the extension of powerful churches, and the work of God, and the triumph over the dark side. It's not going to be able to prevail or withstand the onslaught of that empowered, active, forward-going body of Christ. And that's the most powerful thing on the face of the earth right now, as God is at work in and through, and, well, he's way ahead of us, by the way, too. Don't forget Ephesians 3, now unto him who's able to do immeasurably more. The word is huperekperiosu. Exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you ask or even imagine or even think. I don't have to think in terms how God can answer. That would be a massive limitation. God is so much bigger. Nothing's impossible. Let's just believe God. Let's just believe that God is going to continue to raise individuals up, continue to draw individuals, believers, who are tired of being just spectators, tired of living somewhat half of the life that God in Christ has built them to live, and they want to live. They want to live well that powerful life. And if that desire and that sense is in you, even if you're struggling about it, well, know that what it says in Philippians. Go look it up. It is God that works in you to will and do according to His good pleasure. It is God that works in you, that he's working, operative. Now that word, erges, it's used of the devil and demons and the dark side's powers, a supernatural, working. Well, it's also used in the context of us, the supernatural erges, the work of God in you as a believer. Christ-likeness, powerful servant, tremendous bearing of fruit. What does that mean? Well, that means people get saved, people get healed, people get rescued, people get delivered, people get strengthened, lives are restored. And that comes from all that God in Christ, this great hero of humanity, the Savior Jesus, did. So let me say this over Belleville, last time we were there, on cloudy day. Was it raining? Is it raining and going to rain this weekend? Will we be all over Belleville this weekend? You've heard of the uncloudy day. Well, just bear with me here a little bit. We're going to tell you about that. Don't forget, listen, shatterthedarkness.net website, shatterthedarkness.net, training courses, tons of materials and all free. Download it. I think we're about we're going to be approaching here this spring 80 million downloads all around the world. Hey, conferences, Dallas in about a month and a week, Hickory, North Carolina, back to Canton, Ohio in April, out to Long Island in the major training. It's going to be a major. It's going to be like boots on the ground, field training, experiential, heavy-duty teaching. I'm going to do about 6 hours of it myself. You get a workbook. Then there's a midsummer big conference, Lima, Ohio, with Dr. Mike Spalding and the Go There For conference. The big one that we're doing, well, that's coming in October, International Conference on Satanic Ritual Abuse. And they're already we're already seeing the registrations pour in. So anyway, shadowthedarkness.net. Just scroll down, look to the left, look to the right. You'll see all the things. Sign up for the Preemptor Update. Comes out about four times a week. Gives you the newest emails information, audios, and everything else that we can probably try to give to you. Tonight, as we get into this, this is BellevilleHasASecret.com. And this is the backdrop of this. Is to a basic website created that's going to become huge. PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com. Think of terms across the entire state. The Catholic, they're now saying thousands and thousands of victims and hundreds of wicked perpetrators and priests and so forth. They need to study and go back all the way to these older guys, the Nazi connection, and if there is ritual or satanic elements in the dark or black rooms of the Catholic Church system in Pennsylvania. And so I just simply say this, God bless the AG, Mr. Shapiro. I do. I'm impressed with Josh and district attorneys that we've known and many others. And thank you for doing what God ordains in Romans 13. You know, the state's supposed to do good and commend what is good and then also bear the sword on the evildoer. And it's not the evildoers that get to define how far the state goes in dealing with crime. Vile and wicked and life-crushing destruction. So I'm watching about the snow children. I'm watching, and I didn't know it was, I just kind of caught it as I was doing some studies, and it was on one of the police, or one of those, one of the investigated channels, and it was all about Michigan and the island up there north, Fox Island, and the boys and the pedophile rings and the millionaires and the airplanes where they flew them in and the boys involved. I watched this till the point they brought in a what looked like a 55, 60-year-old man who is one of the boys that was brought into the pedophile ring, brought back to the island, brought back to the places where all of the sexual abuse and films and all the stuff that was done to where these individuals would send it to Amsterdam and do all the rest. I think they're still showing it on that. I'm not sure if it's ID or where, but it's Children of the Snow. Children of the Snow. And the boys and girls that have been killed and brutally sexually abused. Well, then the pedophile rings the connection. So as I listen to officers and even retired detectives talk about this and breaking news about the case 30 years later, and then the victim. I don't know if this is almost like 50 years later he shows up. Then I watch him go to the island, being taken to the places where it all occurred, and he begins to break down. The memories, the pain, the shame, the hurt, the subjugation, the silence, all of that. So as perpetrators recon this show purposely, do you realize the effects that you have thrust upon the victims that you've abused? Do you realize the years and years and decades for some? Many try to just bury it all and hold it down and keep it away and not think of it, out of sight, out of mind. Sometimes then it's out of your feelings and out of your, well, there's all kinds of destructive things that occur when folks have been so abused and so used, and then their responses sometimes, they don't know what to respond. The pain, the secrecy, the shame, the disgust, the feeling that life is ruined, so might as well go ahead and just ruin it all. The unbelievable. So somebody asked me this last week, why do you do what you do? And I could say, someone's, give me one word, Russ, why you guys do what you do. If I was to give you one word, it would be outrage. When Jesus was outside the temple seeing the absolute destruction of the purpose of the temple and the prayer and the rest of that, zeal for the house of God consumed him. You look what he did as he went in there and cleared the house. Jesus talks about harming one of these little ones. It'd be better that a millstone be tied around your neck, thrown into the deepest sea. Do you understand this? I understand this. Most people I meet understand this. Here's one thing I have outrage today about is those who are perpetrators and or those who are covering for the perpetrators and or those who have embraced a cult-like doctrine. I watched as none of them have any sense of empathy, sympathy, compassion for the victims. But they all seem to want to cover for, see the redemption of, and the new life of the horrendous perpetrators, none of which I've seen even say they're sorry. That's why I like to say to victims everywhere, SRA in Pennsylvania, pedophile rings, Sandusky, the rest of it, the bizarre things that are going on, the foster care, children side of it, all of that. And then one of probably the most covered over and held in decades of secrecy like the Catholic system, only worse, is the Amish and Mennonite subjugation and cover-up and silencing, and their position has only fostered broader sexual abuse, broader incest rape, group rape, and more. It's only fostered more of it instead of helping and lending the hand and lending the grace and mercy to the victims themselves. I think sometimes they think if they just keep it quiet, it'll all go away. But the pain is too deep. The tears are so broad. The prayers have gone up. I believe God himself is outraged with you, Amish leaders, with you, the cover-up artists, and you who have come up with a system to guard and protect the perpetrator from the state while you leave subjugated, silenced, and in pain and in chains the thousands of victims throughout Belleville, Big Valley, and so forth. Well, let's get into all that tonight. Again, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Glad you're here. Special broadcast. This is part two of what we've just done lately because, all over in the cases that we're at and Pennsylvania has a secret.com, Belleville, Big Valley, Lancaster too, no question about it, all of that. So let me give you a few things that occurred in the last couple of visits, behind-the-scene visits to Belleville. Number one, let me say this to to all those helpers, all those who are doing good. I'm so glad. I know you're listening. I love you so much. You are the bravest. You are the front line. You are the risk takers. I have engaged and met those who have prayed us, drawn us in by their prayers, those who have lived there all their lives and they know everything about Belleville. They know everybody. They know all the stuff. They've listened to it for, five and six and decades and decades. They've listened and seen and observed the structure, the subjugating structure, the cult-like structure that is there and operative, and it fosters even more abuse. And more. So when you listen to this, and some will listen because you know the cursory, you know what it looks like from the distance, like I did 30 years ago where I lived. Buggies going up the street, little boys and girls dressed in the cutest and just plainest, and there's so many times in the work that we do, we think, wouldn't it be just great, live on a farm, live off everything, just, out from this hellish battle in the context of the world. There's times you do want to get away. There's times that I've looked at the Allegheny, other places, I've been in cabins way up in there and all over, and I think, what if I just bought some land here and just kick back up into the mountains and just cabin and like. I can't even do that for a day, it seems like, because, can I tell you why? Well, this amazing hero of humanity, Jesus, and his will to save, his will to engage, his will to heal, his will to set free the captives, his will to bring recovery of sight, and all of that that God is bringing us. So ultimately, it comes from that God so loved the world. It comes from that mission of Jesus, Luke chapter 4, exactly why he came, exactly why he's here. That's what sets me into all this. I don't think there's a lot of hope outside of that. I mean, there might be some that just simply want to get it stopped and deal with the perpetrators and the rest of that, but when it comes down to knowing what God can do in Christ, saving, healing, delivering, restoring, renewing, washing, cleansing, and just miraculous things he can do in lives. And you got to know this as you're listening, because I know victims will. I know that, and I thank all of you. Spread it around. Do that. I know there's a system, that there's a way in which people that are not allowed to go to the internet, you can get the audio, this audio to them. Whatever you need. If you need some CDs of it, if you need some flash drives of it, if you need whatever else you need of it, get it out there. Because with you and your care and ours and the calling of many, listen, we have worldwide audience. And I am asking them, whether you're from England or Spain or South America, wherever you're from, you know this broadcast, you know this voice. There isn't, I mean, all over there is. I mean, you got to understand I care about Mexico, what's going on. I care deeply. And I care about Scotland, the missing kids, and what's going on there. But right now, this moment, and I'm asking for your focused prayers, is for extraordinary work of God in the uncovering, the ripping open, the engagement of, the dealing with, what I believe is, well, I believe it's a demonic doctrine, a cult doctrine, a maybe spiritual haze over generations of this Amish structure where the abuse, I mean, you're not going to believe it, everything. I mean, I don't know if you're going to believe everything I tell you today. Maybe 3 years ago when I began, 4 years ago when we began to get into this all together, the stories, because, you know, we're dealing primarily with the deeper, darker underground satanic ritual abuse and the Catholic system and some of the foster care system stuff and individuals. But this, which has not come to the attention of the AG and the task force that I know of, because of the subjugation in the Amish system itself, of the victims themselves, of the community itself, and their pressure and push on law enforcement itself. Hey, I got a heads up for law enforcement here tonight in telling you what some of these individuals think about you. They're not here to bow to your laws in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. They reject your laws. They reject what you have to say. They talk about their own moral law and sovereignty over your laws. That's why they don't want you dealing with them. That's why they have pulled the wool over the eyes like other criminals have done for years and years and years by saying, stay out, we'll take care of it ourselves. And so take in 5 to 6 decades of that, and you got now thousands who are victims, grandmothers and mothers and mid-mothers and new moms and teenagers and little girls, the majority of which, so subjugated by this cult system, have never come out, never spoke, buried it in the context of their sad, quieted, fear-ridden, and in many cases where it seems like there is no hope lives. So I say, first of all, to all of the helpers and everybody, thank you, thank you, thank you for those who are riding in, those who are engaging. We are going to be setting up a meeting. We're going to vet the meeting, by the way. You won't be able to come to the meeting without filling out a one-page thing that we can look at background. We can't just have perpetrators and cover-up artists come to the meeting. So you'll be getting contacted about a meeting, and that'll go on, and that's been going on. And once again, I cannot tell you the how broad and wide the individuals and teams and network of help is. There's those who want to know and want to silence it. There are those that are right now, I'm just going to say this, pray for me, because there are the, after this last weekend, there's no question that there is a goal to silence my presence there, and there's a concern. That's all I'll say. Point two tonight, the victims themselves, well, the overwhelming majority for decades and decades have never been to the police. They're not allowed. They've never been to the social workers. They're not allowed. They've never been outside the system of the cult. They're not allowed. They are just subjugated, dominated, silenced. And as long as they're silenced and just do their work and wear their clothing and abide by the rules of those who built a system that fosters to pedophiles, incest rapists, and perpetrators, but does nothing that I have seen in years, the years I've been around, down in there, does really nothing in any big way for... See, here's what I'm going to say. I believe the cover-up artists and perpetrators in the whole system, I believe even those, some good individual leaders that know about all of it, but they don't want it all out. They don't want the whole cat out of the bag. They don't want all of the deep blood and guts. They don't want how big, how broad, how wide, how awful, how painful, how horrific, how criminal. They don't want all that out of the bag. Because there is this goal to make the scenery, the outward look to be better than the English, better than the pagan. There's this goal of making the outward look to look so good, so separated, but there's a big black hole of sin and disgust. And there's no question the demonic, the stealing and killing of lives. And I believe that Jesus has been, is outraged over all of this. And I believe God, with or without me, I believe God is going to be pouring workers and helpers. And I believe this, God's going to dig way down. I believe there's going to be a great digging down to deal and engage with the perpetrator, the perpetrators, the long haul, the cover-up, the evidences. I believe that there's a major, major work of God. And you might even find some bodies buried here or there. There's a secret in Belleville, the mountain, the Black Book, Bacaria. The victims, we're sorry. We love you. We're not this huge, massive national organization. We're a team that is building, and we're going to do our part, and we're going to do our part all we can and continue to recruit and train and send. So I want all the victims. First of all, I'm so sorry you have gone through all that you've done, including the rape of your testimony and confession, the rape of your allowability to go get help. I mean, talk about getting raped and abused and used and over and over and over again, and then subjugated, and then watch perpetrators get a new day. You're told to shut up, and they're going to use God in a cult sense, in a wrong sense, to keep you silenced and feeling guilty. Well, we're going to get to this cult structure of totalism. You ever hear of totalism? Robert Lifton wrote a book, and it goes back to the Koreans and the concept of cult and totalism. Not just mind control, but emotional control and soul control and spiritual control and financial control and who you speak to and education, all of that. We're going to talk about that in a moment, too. So I'm saying to the victims, we love you, we're praying, and don't be afraid to write us, email us, send something, and your day. your prayers have counted. Your prayers are counting now. Your prayers, your concern about your younger sisters and even younger brothers and the abuse and the perpetration. It's like you gotta watch over your back all over the place, isn't it? That's no way to live. And so by the hand of God, this must all be ripped up and engaged. Point three tonight, prayer. Prayer over all of that area. So a number of us are standing on the mountainside up there, the top mountainside, looking over all Big Valley and all the areas. Now, we could do that from a distance, and I have friends all over the planet. We're asking some of those friends, send us a note in. God giving you insight about Belleville, God giving you insight about Pennsylvania, by the way, or anything around there, just pray. And that prayers on all that mountainside last week involved prayers for revival, prayers for the body of Christ, prayers for the victims primarily, prayers for the breaking of the oppressive structure that I happen to believe is generational, has its roots in some of deepest sin, may even have a concept of going back to the, well, how the Moabites came about. That's going to make some people angry. Here's some good news. Let me just read you something out of the book of Daniel. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. It is he who changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings, that means leaders, even bishops. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who no understanding. Listen to verse 22, chapter 2, Daniel. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what lies in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers, for you have given me wisdom and might and have made known to me now what we have asked you. You have made known to us the kings, the matter. Well, there's a matter. You go circle that in verse 23, the word the matter of Belleville, the matter of the regional area. So as we pray that. Let me give you another one really quick here. You ever read Hebrews 4:13? Quote, there is no creature, nothing in all creation, literally, that is not revealed in God's sight. For all things are laid bare and exposed to the eyes of him, God, to whom we must give account. So for all of the cover-up, for all of what's been done, for all of that, there's no question that, well, let me make it very clear. It's not going to stand. Here's what I'm convinced of, with or without me, that God is doing a work in Pennsylvania, that God is doing a work across the board, the Catholic system, the foster care systems, the pedophile rings, the individual things that are going on, the human trafficking issues, satanic ritual abuse deep down. That's the biggest and broadest in Pennsylvania. And then the Amish Mennonite, multi-generational, no different, if not worse, than what has occurred in the Catholic system over decades. So I think we must do this as God has moved people to pray. Those prayers have been and are being answered individually, and then God is just simply raising up and sending in. And I can only tell you that from hundreds of miles away, that's the only reason we're there. Point four tonight, I talked to a relative of a victim last week. Astounded. It was a good talk, and I liked the individual very much. It was simply a cold call, and I'm very possible they're listening. But I'm going to say again, walking away and thinking about the entire discussion outrage, because I heard the same thing, you know, trying to discuss with this individual concerning one of his own that had been brutally group raped. But shoved to the side when it all came down to it. I see one of the arrogant individuals there that we've engaged who sat before me in a meeting with another pastor where there was a great sense of anger and, in our view, cover-up and, in our view, the goal of intimidation, and with their stated purpose to keep us out, we are outsiders. Well, that's never going to happen. But as that that individual sat in front of me, kind of like proud as a peacock, yet he's a brutal rapist. And I don't know if he's ongoing with that. We're going to trust the Lord to open that door and show. But as I talk to, and I want to say that in 4 years or so, there are fathers, there are uncles, there are grandfathers, there are brothers, there are women, there's law enforcement, there are other pastors. So you understand, we've talked to a lot of individuals. And a four-year engagement, I'm going to tell you this, like this father. There are a lot of cowards. And when it comes to your own family, when you don't defend them, especially little girls, I say coward. It's unconscionable. I say that this is a horrific failure. And kids know when those who they counted on to protect them, to believe them, to defend them, to affirm them. And then to continue to do that for years and years, and then for this father to come up with the, well, moral law and state law and who should deal with it. And so what I listened to again was all of the factors that would involve cover-up, all of the factors that would involve keep the cops out, keep law, state law out, keep all that out of it, keep all that justice out of it, and we'll do our own. Where is it? Where is that justice? And as I listened and listened and listened and went away shaking my head, I as a father, I as a grandfather, I as a man walking away, shaking my head, clenching my fists, and having that outrage build to think, what a coward! What a failure! In the context, even years and years later, to hold to a subjugation of the vile, brutal, horrific rapes, and a shoving aside, disbelieving, or saying, there's not enough evidence. I watched, I listened to an individual that I appealed to as a father, as a believer. I walked away wondering whether is there a spirit demon? Is there a territorial spirit over the area? Is there some kind of dark presence like in Daniel's day, the Prince of Persia, the Prince of Belleville, the entity that holds a cult-like structure so that radical criminal evil that perpetrates itself on little girls, teenage girls, the 20-year-olds, the 30, and then the violence that is done is then not just forced on them, it hurt them physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, in all of life's development. I've not seen one man, one individual yet. I have one father outraged about what occurred, but at this point won't do anything about it. I mean, at this point won't actually do anything. So I'm making an appeal to fathers and grandfathers and uncles and brothers where you know there has been rape, where you know there has been incest, rape, forced sexual abuse over and over. You sit in silence, you are a coward. You sit in silence, guilt on you, shame on you, and may God engage you to deal with you, that you have done nothing but foster under that dark spirit, under that dark generational cult-like structure, a silencing of the abused. Do you realize the damage? Some 20 and 30 and 40 years later can talk about the effect of their entire life. This kind of abuse has affected them and altered their lives, most of which are subjugated on farms, subjugated in a religious system that tells them to be silent. A few, in order to break free and get the healing and tell the stories, have literally had to leave the area to do it because the dark, cult-like structure, the system decades in place, fosters to the radical evil and the perpetrator, fosters to cover up, fosters to keeping it all silent so the rest of them, you, can look good in a kind of painted picture. It's all it is anymore. A painted, when it goes that deep, when it goes that, see, in the book of Ezekiel, where the abuse was going on deep down under the temple, under the religious structure, right where the temple was, in the very city of God, the city of God, where there should have been real justice, a theonomy in those days, in Ezekiel's day, and the word of God, and all that God is and all that God does in the context of redemption in the Old Testament, there in Ezekiel 8, that should have all been there. But behind the scenes, and for decades, God finally, the corruption, the abuse, the sin, the vile darkness, it builds up. We read about this in Romans, that evildoers like that, they wrath upon wrath. They store up wrath upon wrath. It builds. It builds. The outcry, it builds and builds and builds. Well, in that day, God goes and gets a good guy, Ezekiel, and leads him down in, and Ezekiel has to actually even, well, dig and investigate and get in there as God guides and leads to see abominations, to see what is detestable. So there's no question about that in the satanic ritual abuse statewide in PA. But I'm going to say the exact same thing is true about the Amish Mennonite. Multi-generational, overwhelmingly by 90% or so cover up. And I'm just telling you, I'm shocked. I'm shocked that I have met religious leaders, those connected to the religious leaders, community leaders and workers, and even fathers, uncles, grandfathers that I sat down and had discussion with, coming out of their mouth, we want this to stop, but we don't want the criminal, violent, pedophile, rapist, incest rape, group rape individuals to have to go to jail. I shake my head, and I feel like that's repeated by old Amish in some Mennonite, and then just go down from 80s down. You know what the young individual Amish and other kids think? You know what that fosters? Nothing really happens if you do get caught. So it's no big deal. Let alone the fact some of them know their sisters, their brothers, and others. You got to understand and that's why we're now going to write on the subject. Kind of a manifesto. Now, we're not going to only talk about the facts and figures and so forth, but we're going to, and that's why we've asked. We have gotten no response. We're going to say it again here. If Amish leadership want a meeting and want to engage, we can do that. If there are those who really want to engage the structure that has fostered pedophilia, rape, and incest, and the destruction and subjugation of thousands, not hundreds, then let's do it. I can say this with or without me. It's not going away. And I foresee it becoming a national media event. I do. Because of how big, how broad, how wide. So to the father I engaged, I liked you. But I also am disgusted that you didn't guard your little one. Believe, protect, and defend, and stand with, and affirm. Instead, you come under the structure of cult teaching, cult doctrine, dark cover-up, and only forced. Well, you know the ramification, what it did force. Here's the good news. There are those that have gotten out of the area. They're the ones that are being the spokesmen. They're the ones that are going to write the books. They're the ones that are going to do the talk shows. They're the ones that are going to be on videos sharing the details. They're the ones that are now talking with law enforcement. Now, after all that, here's what I did last week. I talked to a victim. I have talked to this individual a number of times. Let me say this. I am deeply impressed. I praise God for them. I have listened to them talk about the details of the violent group brutal rape in the barn. I've listened to victims for over 38 years. I've listened to stories and thousands of hours. There is no question of the reality and truthfulness of this great victim. When I say great now, because getting out of the area, going to the Lord, not turning their back on Jesus or on God, realizing that what was done and what was done afterwards and what was done to cover and what was done to subjugate was all ungodly, unscriptural, and not what Jesus would do. Here's an individual. Well, you go to PennsylvaniaHasASecret.com. You're going to see a where it says to join in a prayer. That prayer, that victim, that individual, that's the one. Now, I've read that to you before, and I'm not going to do it again tonight because we have a few more things we need to dig into. So I'm going to say that here's what I foresee happening through all of this. More and more victims coming out. More and more telling, more and more, and the big goal is to find many that are going to be able to pray with, help, guard, house, and even move. There are going to be victims that need to be moved because of the cult-like structure. They're going to, in some cases, they might have to sneak out in the dark of night with helpers to be extracted. The way it's done in cult circles at times. Talking to the victim again, asking a few questions about the relative, and you could hear in this individual's heart and alive, they wished this man would have done something different. They utterly believe they're caught up in the false teaching, false doctrine, the cover-up, and the things that do nothing but foster continue the freedom of the perpetrator. So this individual has had to engage and talk about how Jesus brought healing and Jesus did this in their life. And so I listen to this person. I hear a great sense of healthy. I love God. I love Christ. He's healed me. He strengthened me. I forgive the perpetrators, but I want them stopped. And they need to pay a price. Hey, in 4 years, in all of that we've engaged, I haven't even begun to heard the slightest sense of, I'm sorry. Victim, perpetrators, horrific perpetrators, sitting in silence, trying to cover their tracks, trying to be outraged at outside people coming in, trying to do everything and build a system and text each other and communicate with each other and have meetings to make sure all the stuff is covered up and all the items are gone and all the evidence is. That's going on. You can't outrun God. God knows the blood that cried out from the ground with Abel. God knows where, how, when. Things that occurred 30 years ago. Or more, or less, or right now. God knows how to bring it forward. And again, I'm going to just say this, with or without me, with or without the SIU and team members and other helpers and workers, there's no question I believe that's what God is doing in Belleville, Big Valley, moving on into Lancaster, and others. I have talked to individual Amish, ex-Amish, that are so afraid of getting caught talking to us that it has to be done outside cities and outside places and in complete seclusion. And I'm at times, the outrage, the unbelief, it's unbelievable. It really is. That there are individuals and men and others and girls that have to make sure that nobody catches them talking to us. Nobody catches them talking to a law enforcement agent. Nobody catches them discussing it at all, because the structure of a cult-like totalism is all over them. When I give 9 points of totalism, there are victims that can understand. They've been under a false teaching, false doctrine, bad leadership, cowardly, if not, well, how many of the leaders themselves are sex abusers and incest abusers? And how many, is there families? Are there families that have not? So I talk to the victim and I say, you know what? I was telling the victim on the phone this last week. I talked to somebody else. I said, how many? Standing on the mountainside, praying over the area, is it 50% of all the Amish women and some of the men? Is it 50%? Oh, no, Russ. It's more like 70 and 80%. Is it like hundreds of victims? Oh, no, Russ. It's like thousands. Talking on the phone with the other avid advocate victim that's now powerful in the Lord, they said, I'm going to have to disagree. It's not 70 or 80%, Russ. It's more like 90%. When you know that your grandmothers and mothers and aunts, sisters and cousins and nieces, here's what it was told me. I don't know if this is going to knock your wig off or what. I was told that within the subjugating structure, that it's almost assumed that most of the girls will get raped and incest and harmed in that way, and many boys will. It's almost an assumption. It's not if, but when. And that, to the men, real men of God in Belleville, the real men, that should outrage you to the point of seeing all of this come out, be cleansed. You can't cleanse it by silence. You can't cleanse it by subjugation and cover up. You can't cleanse it that way. And that's not the way God's going to do it now. I believe God is outraged with the bishops and leaders and people and individuals and the perpetrators. And though a couple of them have jumped out of the city to other locations, doesn't make any difference. See, I believe that God knows how to disturb. Remember that Babylonian king in the book of Daniel? God just threw a dream into his head and disturbed him. He knows how to deal with him. Let me say the contacts we've talked to, I don't have time to talk more about that. Law enforcement, all I can say is once we've engaged and met and others that we are plotting and planning on meeting with, I'm so grateful for the good ones. I mean, what I'm saying is I don't have anybody on. I'm just saying for the ones that they're, it's like they're just out to do the Romans 13 job. Do good, commend good, but bear the sword clearly as God himself has ordained this. Are the Mennonite leaders listening? Are the Amish listening? God ordained them to do what they're going to do. We're not talking about teenage kids willfully, willingly having sex before marriage and needing to repent and so forth. We're not even talking about adults who have committed adultery willingly on their own and they need to repent of and deal with. We're talking about multi-generational pedophilia, incest, rape that's altered a people, subjugating them. No doubt that there are perpetrators who are listening who are very fearful of all this coming out. So they plotted harm, and they plotted to make sure to keep people out. And I'm here to tell you, it's not about us. It's about God himself, the prayers that have gone up, the horrific evil that has gone on, and the hand of God coming down on the cowardly, let me just say this, fathers and uncles and brothers and men and bishops and leaders and pastors and all those who have done more to cover up and subjugate the women with no help. One of the big indicators is, what have you done? What have you done to bring the fullness of Jesus, the fullness of God? Well, let me give you this. Totalism and the concept of this, I engaged the Moonies years ago and then the Sun Myung Moon and that the cult-like structure, the Way International, and others along the way, and the whole principle of exit counseling, extracting individuals that are so stuck deep into that cult, it's mind control, life control, emotional control, everything. So I'm giving you right here the 9 principles. Number 1, the control of the total person and the total life. Number 2, the outward appearance to make it look like it's a special mission, purity, even religious. Number 3, control of the environment, keeping them separated from all other society, and they're only allowed to engage deeply within the group. Number 4, the control of what you learn and how you think and how you're educated. Number 5, the control of who you get to talk to and where you can go. Number 6, the control of your finances, so as to subjugate you. You don't have the money to get out. You don't have the money to go live somewhere else, to keep you incapacitated. Number 7, the control of access to others or others to you. They're trying to stop that. It's a cult-like structure. Number 8, the subjugation and fear and threats. Are they there? Number 9, the control of future limited options. There's a need for an exit strategy in that region, in that area. Don't you think? I think so. I think that what we've seen and what we're seeing is just not only horrendous in all that it is, we need to see this change. I don't know who all is still thinking about it, listening, and wondering, but I'm saying that tonight, as we give this special broadcast, wondering what will happen, who's going to be shut up, what meetings behind the scenes will go on to cover up what's being said and what's being done here. So there's a lot of plans. There's a lot of things that are going to be done and will continue to be done. But let me tell you this, as we're thinking here at the end of the hour, Ragged Edge Radio broadcast. Now, as my prayers for the victims is that Jesus will do and bring to you all of the help and the healing and the ministry that you need. Our prayers are that the cult-like structure will be dismantled and brought down, exposed, and biblical truth. Truth, as Jesus said, that would set you free. Our prayers are for the law enforcement to be involved in the right ways based on Romans 13. Our prayers that many hundreds of others and helpers are going to come in. How deep will this go? Why don't the perpetrators just come forward to apologize, to repent, to say out loud, have you ever said it to the victims, or is it all behind closed doors? Is it really over? Ragged Edge Radio broadcast, Russ Dizdar, ShatterTheDarkness.net.